And they, wow. I think there's a precedent that president who got sick and
yeah,
then
Harrison, I believe it was.
And then he died shortly
William
after.
William Harrison, yeah. He gave like a 2-hour inauguration speech in the rain or something.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I don't know if that's apocryphal.
It's funny now because it was a long time ago.
Right.
Anyway, so
tragedy
we've got,
time.
Speaking of chronicling things, David Kravitz is here. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am awesome, but I'm getting better.
Oh, wow, that's incredible. That's
wow.
Smart. That's like
always room for improvement.
Fancy.
That's like driving at the speed of light and turning on your headlights.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you got it.
Well, it's nice to see you, sir. I'm looking at a couple of books that you have, which you must be proud of. It's not an order, by the way, but Less Beaten Paths, Volume 1 and 2. I'd be proud if I wrote these.
Yeah.
These are cool travelogue books that you've done. How long have you found it to be a delightful thing to kind of, I don't know, meander around? Does it go back to childhood, do you think?
Well, ultimately, it does go back to childhood. As a matter of fact, in my second book, the bigger one with color pictures, the first one has black and white. This
radio station is full color, by the way. So,
well, that's okay. I've got a face for radio. Unfortunately, they're seeing it on Facebook
now.
Yeah,
that's the problem with the Facebook Live feed, you know.
But I've had a wanderlust since I was a kid. As a matter of fact, as a 8 and 9 year old, you know, you'd think my favorite show was The Flintstones or something. But I enjoyed watching Charles Kuralt on the road.
Nice.
Uh huh.
But I really didn't get going chronicling a lot of my travel. Until around 2005, and I started doing a lot of road trips in the United States for, I'd done a lot of work for musician Ancy McLean in the Trailer Park Troubadours, and I'd go out with him on his shows all the way even out to Washington and places like that.
Uh-huh.
And I would take my kids, and we did road trips. I started writing about them around 2005, and I started writing a blog called Less Beaten Paths.
Right.
I chose that name because I don't like to take interstates. I take back roads.
Great. I do, too.
And
Is this like in a camper or a convertible?
No.
Or?
No, I'll stop at motels along the way, but I never plan where I plan the direction I'm going.
Right.
But I don't plan where I'm going to stop.
Isn't that the best?
I stop when it gets dark because I can't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go and see.
You need those
what
headlights
I'm
fixed.
I want to see what's around me, and I want to stop in small towns.
Yeah.
My most favorite trip that I ever took so far was driving. I drove from here up to Beloit, Wisconsin, and then drove north all the way to Ironwood, Michigan. I got on U.S. Route 2, and I drove all the way to Glacier National Park on U.S. Route 2.
Wow.
That went through Minnesota, went through Wisconsin and North Dakota. And along the way, I stop and find all sorts of funky things.
Yeah.
I'm also into, you know, I'm a photographer as well. So I do my own photography in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll stop. I'll do national parks. I'll do wildlife. I'll do whatever I see along the way. The difference with my books than a typical travel guide is that everything in my book is my experiences, where I've been. I won't write about a place if I've not been there.
Okay. You would think that no one would do that, but in fact.
I'm sure.
Well, most of these big travel books do.
Uh-huh.
You know, they'll have the guys to get on the internet and research everything and write all the chapters about things. And
now, let's see. So you said this started as a blog. Are the books kind of, and I know this happens, and it might just be really efficient, but are they kind of a distillation of the blog in some ways, or a side jaunt?
Well, I started writing my travel blog around 2007. Mm-hmm. And by the time
you're an early blogger. I was too. I never really. It's mine. Just like it's
WordPress came out. Thank you, WordPress.
Yeah.
And so I started writing my travel blogs and posting my pictures. And about a year after that, people started saying, "Well, you should write a book. You should write a book." Well, I was working full time. I still am, but I was doing all sorts of jobs and trying. You know, writing a blog was enough of an adventure for me, but after a while, I'd written enough content. I've got over 350 posts on my blog from all over the place. And so I decided I'm going to write a series of books and call it Less Beaten Paths of America. And I worked with musician Ansi McLean, once again, is also an artist, and he's actually the designer for my covers.
Okay.
And we came up with the concept of a highway road sign, ironically. And so each book is going to be themed separately. The first book was all about quirky town names, and the second book is about quirky and offbeat roadside attractions. You know, and that's where I got into my thing, is when I was a kid, I was going through a, you remember the old Big Life books and magazines, and they have all the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And I discovered a picture of Paul Bunyan and the Blue Ox.
Mm-hmm.
It was black and white back then. This was in the 1960s. But I told my mom and dad, I pointed at it, I said, someday I'm going to go see that.
Oh, yeah? When you when you were a little kid, you told your parents that?
Yes. Okay. I said, someday I want to go see this.
Uh-huh.
And we were living in Albuquerque, New Mexico at the time. A great Route 66 town, mind you. But I had no idea I'd ever go see it. And on that road trip on Highway 2, I went through Bemidji, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
And there it was, you know, the big, huge Paul Bunyan, his big blue ox. And that's the first chapter of that second book. And that's what the picture, if you look at the picture, the cover of the second book, the one on the bottom, you'll see, well, actually see my head as Paul Bunyan there.
Right. Now, when was that built?
1932.
Wow. Well. Probably has had some upkeep from time to time, I wonder.
Oh, yeah, it has. What's fun was I went into the visitor center and told the gal in the visitor center my story, and she pulled out the old Life magazine that had the exact picture that I remembered as a kid.
Uh-huh.
And so I took a picture of that and included that in my blog, and I think I've included it in the book, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
So I've fulfilled one of my lifelong dreams.
You must have these kind of like small world occurrences a lot, if I were to guess.
Maybe.
Go places and have kind of coincidental things happen. I mean, especially if you're just sort of, I feel like you're kind of a serendipity seeker. And if you travel this way.
Serendipity seeker. That's the name of your next book.
I am a serendipity seeker.
Yeah.
I got a question for you, and I'm being completely sincere.
Sure.
Have you been to Uranus, Missouri?
Absolutely. I was in Uranus, Missouri just last summer.
You can't say Missouri on the air.
Oh, my bad. Missouri.
I was with my granddaughter coming back from Texas.
Uh-huh.
And I saw the signs when I was in western Missouri. I'll say Missouri for you. And it's funny because, you know, all these places I know and I've seen, I've been to all 50 states, and I'm thinking, I've never even heard of Uranus, Missouri. And I told my granddaughter, I said, we're going to go to Uranus.
Uh-huh.
And we did.
Yeah.
Right.
And it'll be in an upcoming book.
Yeah.
I think there's actually a picture in this one, but I wrote a whole blog post about it.
Oh, cool.
And the employees there are called fudge packers.
Is that right?
And you walk into the door, into the Uranus Fudge Factory.
This is all real, Mick.
This is real.
I've heard this from a friend, too.
You walk into the front door, and the very first thing the employees all say, kind of like when you walk into a Walmart, they say, welcome to Walmart. These people all say, welcome to Uranus.
Uh-huh. Does anybody there try to get away with calling it Uranus, and everybody else goes, no.
That's as bad.
Well, yeah.
They do, actually.
Yeah.
And people will correct you in the store.
Right. Don't try to sugarcoat it to make it, well, I was going to make some puns, but I'm just going to stop.
Yeah, just stop. let's see. So David Kravitz is here, the writer, the travel writer. Less Beaten Paths. This is a series of books. Volume 2 just came out. Yeah. Let's see. So you in your first book, I see that you've been to, this is from the cover, of course, you mentioned unique town names. You've been to Peculiar. You've been to Oddville. You've been to Uncertain. You've been to Normal. You've been to Monkey's Eyebrow. Is that in here?
That's not in that book.
What?
No. That's going to be, I'm going to actually do a second book of odd names. I've been to so many of them.
Oh, yeah.
And that was my first try at a book, and so I put my favorites in there.
Okay. How do you narrow these things down?
I self-publish on Amazon, and I've got so much space I can use, so I just start weeding things out, you know, to get it to the cost that I want.
Okay.
The second book was ultimately 380 pages, and I had to cut it down to 124.
Wow.
So I've actually got my third book all written already.
Yeah.
I just don't want to put it out a month later.
Right. Okay. Well, you've got to share some. You've got to share some of your favorite things with us here. You know, Kentucky. I always like to joke. I know you travel. Have you been all over Kentucky? Or
yes.
So I love to joke with people about, and this might be true for almost every state, but Kentucky has so many towns that have the names of either European cities or countries. So when anybody says, you know, if they're going to Rome, I'm like, Rome, Kentucky? Or I don't know if there is a Rome, Kentucky, but I think so. Paris, Kentucky.
I think there's a Rome.
Yeah. So, I mean, what have you found in Kentucky to be particularly... Kentucky is full of peculiar little places. One area of Kentucky that came up the other day that is sort of mysterious to me is the South Central region of Kentucky. Not the far west,
whatever
east.
That means.
Well, it means the middle of the state at the bottom.
So a place such as Bug Tussle?
Bug Tussle, right, yeah.
Have you heard of Bug Tussle?
I have heard of Bug Tussle, but maybe it was in your book that I heard of.
Well, do you know
it.
Where Bug Tussle came from?
No.
Tussling bugs?
Well, there's actually town names, but if you ever watched the Beverly Hillbillies, the mayor, Jed Clampett came from Bug Tussle, Tennessee, supposedly.
Oh, I knew
the
mayor, that sounded familiar.
There's actually two episodes that actually use the name Bug Tussle. Well, I discovered that there's only three Bug Tussles in the United States, and one time I decided, well, I've got to drive to Texas to go visit my sister, so I drove from Lexington to Bug Tussle, Kentucky.
All right.
And then early in the morning, and I drove all day back roads through Nashville, and I went through only Tennessee, and I went through Bucksnort, Tennessee, and
nice.
Continued on all the way to Bug Tussle, Texas, which is south of Paris, all in one day.
Uh-huh.
14 hours. But that's one interesting Kentucky town. Of course, everybody knows Rabbit Hash. And I was at Rabbit Hash before the store burned down, and they've rebuilt the store since.
Right.
I've been to Wisdom, Kentucky, home of the Kentucky Headhunters.
Okay.
And about 12 houses.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of these places, the little places you go, as you just kind of alluded to, sometimes you get to these little places and find that there's really not a place there at all.
Oh, yeah. That happened in Bug Tussle, Texas, actually. Uh-huh. I got to Bug Tussle, Texas, and I wanted to say that I documented a trip from Bug Tussle to Bug Tussle. Well, there used to be an old building on a corner there, but it was late at night. I got there around midnight. It was dark. And I went there, put the flashlight up on the building, and the word Bug Tussle was gone. So I drove down the road where there was a light, a street light, and it was a entrance to a farm. Because this is farm country down there. And lo and behold, there was a sign that said Bug Tussle Road.
You needed that.
But
that was important.
That was all that was there. I mean, literally nothing else.
Yeah.
And I've run into that numerous times. This most recent trip, as a matter of fact, we went down, and I now work for comicbook.com as a database manager for them, and they're out of Nashville. But I was with my granddaughter, and I wanted to go to Marvel, Alabama, because we were going down to Houston. And so I bought her and myself these Marvel comic T-shirts, said Marvel all across the top, and went all the way down this little windy road into Marvel, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing in Marvel, Alabama is the Marvel Baptist Church. There's no sign that says Marvel. The only thing was the Marvel Baptist Church.
They're not trying to lay claim to Stan Lee's empire.
No. But I did get a picture with my Marvel T-shirt in front of the Marvel Baptist Church in Marvel, Alabama,
right,
which has a population of maybe 20 people.
You needed one of, I can't think of the name of, like, the Marvel, in the Marvel universe, there probably is a religion or deity-based character.
Who knows? Yeah.
Cross man. I don't know. sorry. This is a particularly sacrilegious show today.
His daytime name was Crossley McCrosserton. No one picked it
no
up.
One
no
knows.
One picked up on
no
it.
Well, I do take pictures of church signs quite often. I recently visited a place called Ferry, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Ferry Baptist Church. And there's a Ferry Cemetery. Uh-huh. I didn't know they buried fairies when they died.
Buried fairies is a fun phrase, though.
There's actually a sign that says Ferry Cemetery, and then there's the Ferry Church, and that's really all that's in Ferry, Texas.
Yeah. Now, if my wife was out on this venture, she would be looking for, she has a really good eye for lack of a better term, what you might call fairy glens, I suppose, which is like a certain kind of stand of trees. Do you ever see these where you, there's a certain kind of stand of trees and you're like, and one of us, mostly I learned it from her, will be like, there's fairies there.
She must.
It's something about, I have trouble even describing it, but there's definitely a certain kind of stand of trees where you're like, there's fairies there, I can tell.
Yeah, well, there aren't any of those in Fairy, Texas.
Or at least dead ones. No.
There's very few trees.
We're going to take a break. This is Trivial Thursdays. David Kravitz is here, the author of Less Beaten Paths of America. We're going to take a break and have some news from the University of Kentucky Journalism Department.
The whole department?
Well,
in stereo or something? That would be really cool. They should work that out.
Yeah.
Let's talk to them about that.
I'm never clear about the details. So, fortunately, that's what the news is for the details, right?
Right.
And let's see. So, we're going to yield the floor here for a second and have some news. We'll come back. This is Trivial Thursdays on WRFL. We'll be back with David Kravitz. And then a little later on in the show, Warren Byram is going to be here to play some music along with Craig Abernathy of the Kentucky Natural Lands Trust. So stick around. This is Trivial Thursdays on the radio dial at 88.1 FM, online at 88 or WRFL.fm, and on Facebook Live, if you can find it.
88.1 FM.
Well, I come home, loving on my mind. Delray don't much care no more. We got a love that's dying on the vine, but Delray don't much care no more. Delray don't much care. And all I want's a little piece of her time, but Delray don't much care no more. Making me feel like I'm pulling off a crime, but Delray don't much care no more. Delray don't much care. Ooh, Delray don't be cruel to me. Ooh, why you gotta go and make a fool of me? Delray don't be cruel. Making me worry till I can't see straight, but Delray don't much care no more. Say you got to tell me when you're coming home late, but Delray don't much care no more. Delray don't much care.
Delray don't much care.
Delray don't be cruel to me. Why you gotta go and make a fool of me? Delray don't much care. Delray don't much care. Delray don't much care. Delray don't much care. Delray don't much care.
Hi.
That's awful nice. That's Ancy McClain from the album Time, Sweet, and Lies with Delray Don't Much Care. Our guest, David Kravitz, here, the author of Less Beaten Paths of America. Volume 2 just came out. Now, Ancy McClain, you said, does graphic design for you? Or
he does my cover work. He is a graphic designer originally by trade and then a musician, you know, like lots of musicians, they do other things.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he's also an artist. And so we've been friends for many years, and I collaborated with him on doing his website. Well, he decided to collaborate back and help me with my book covers.
All right, then. Let's see. So this new version, this new edition of your book has come out, Volume 2. And people can find this on Amazon, I guess, right? You say you publish it through Amazon. And so this is it's full of stories of taking trips to some of America's quirkiest roadside attractions. That's what this one is, right? The last one was peculiar town names. And this one is quirky and offbeat roadside attractions. Do you got any favorites, Leaf?
Places?
Are you a roadside attractions fan?
I love it. I'm with David. I avoid the interstate at almost any cost. If I have to be somewhere at a certain time, I will begrudgingly take the interstate. But I'm among the several swaths of testosterone that I'm missing. One is that drive to get somewhere the fastest way possible, which just cracks me up that people would compare notes about how fast they got somewhere. I don't know why the rush to get everywhere. I like to go. In fact, if we're trying to make time on a trip, somebody has to pull police me, because if I stop, I'm going to stop until I feel like getting back on the road. I just like lounge around, talk, look at the attractions, anything weird on the off the beaten path. It's the best way to go. You see so much of America you wouldn't see otherwise.
Is there anything in here about Stuckies?
Not in this book. Stuckies. There will be Stuckies is going to be actually included in a later edition.
A lot of people have fond memories of Stuckies. Oh, yeah. I know I do for some
reason.
Nothing
like those pecan rolls.
That's what it is, right?
Yeah.
I hated them. But anyway, but I like the rack of personalized license plates that are not unique to Stuckies, but nonetheless. And you could find David on a lot of those, no problem.
Oh, yeah.
And Leaf, I don't know about that. Maybe. Mick was a toss-up. It was 50-50. Mickey, sometimes.
Well, they have those at Uranus if you want to go over there.
Right.
That's what I've heard.
I don't. I doubt that you've ever found a license plate that says Sumo Flam, which for some reason is a nickname of yours.
I have not done that. I actually thought about doing a license plate for Sumo Flam, but unfortunately there isn't an 8-liter license plate.
Okay.
So I used an old adage from a Nancy McLean song called Married Up, and it's MARDUP for my license plate.
Okay.
But speaking of cars, I actually had an MARDUP license plate. Every year they give you a new one with the exact same thing. They don't the economy's weird, you know. You get your license plate and they give you a new license plate. So I have the old ones, and one of the stories is in my book here. Is a place in Nebraska, in Alliance, Nebraska. It's called Carhenge. You've been to Carhenge?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Carhenge actually has license plates all across the visitor center.
Oh, wait, you know, I'm getting it mixed up with Cadillac. Cadillac
Ranch in Amarillo.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. I have not been to Carhenge. I've seen pictures.
I have a whole book on just car art.
Okay.
And two of my favorite places are Cadillac Ranch and Carhenge. I love Carhenge.
Cadillac Ranch, which is really an art installation, I suppose. Carhenge is too.
And there used to be, if you ever
vintage
watched
Cadillacs, nose deep in the dirt.
Did you watch Wayne's World?
Yeah, sure.
There was these cars on a spike.
Yeah,
they were up in Berwyn, Illinois.
Okay,
and I've been there as well. It's no longer there. They took that art installation down. It was done by Dustin Schuler, an artist out of California who passed away. And they tore it down to put a new Walgreens in.
Happens. So Carhenge, you were talking about.
Yeah, I went to Carhenge, and they had all these license plate collections, so I signed my Married Up license plate and gave it to them to put up there for a Kentucky license plate.
Oh, okay. Nice. So you can do that. You can add to things.
Well,
there must be little scraps and pieces of you all over your travels.
There are, wherever I can get a chance to do it.
Uh-huh. You probably even maybe take things along to leave places or
well, no, but, you know, there's a really unique restaurant, not a restaurant, but a burger joint up in Port Townsend, Washington. And you walk in there and the place is just bedecked with dollar bills. Mm-hmm. Dollar bills hanging from the roof, dollar bills on the wall. They'd replaced them three different times. They said the last time they took them down, they'd gathered $12,000. And then they donate it to the Boy Scouts or something, and then they start doing it again.
Uh-huh. Well, okay. These aren't shellacked onto the wall.
No, but people nice. Write their names on them. Uh-huh. So I wrote my name on a dollar bill and put it on a wall over there, and there's a place in Nashville that does the same thing. So I've got like five $1 bills that I've defaced, and I'm probably going to go to prison for someday.
Uh-oh.
By putting Sumo Flam was here and plastering it on a wall.
Less beaten paths.
Someplace.
Less beaten paths of America. Prison.
Yep. prison edition. Yeah. If you go to cell block D, that's where you're going to find the most interesting roadside attractions in prison. Chapter 2.
David, we got time for one more of your favorite places that you've visited, or even say a time that, you know, you said you like to wander the back roads, and I do too, and Leaf does too. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to look at Google Maps these days, which means it's harder than it used to be, kind of just to get lost, which used to be one of my favorite things to do. It's just, yeah, especially even just around Lexington, just go out driving in some direction,
yeah,
and then try to find my way back.
Just turn that map off.
Uh-huh. All right.
Put what I do is I kind of know I'm going to go from here to here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to go visit my daughter in Washington or my son down in Texas or whatever, and I route myself in a certain direction,
mm-hmm,
and then I go.
Right.
And every day I'll kind of change it a little bit. I use a website called roadsideamerica.com quite often. I'm good friends with them. I actually post a lot of stuff for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll do things like that. And I just kind of look along the way, and I'll use Google all the time, actually, and go look at Google Pictures. So like Marvel, Alabama, I mentioned earlier, I'd look up Marvel, Alabama, and see if there's anything interesting to look at there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do that. I'll look at the road trip that I'm going to take and that road, and I'll look at pictures for every single little town along the way. And mm-hmm, maybe they've got an old antique store. Maybe they've got some funky ball of twine or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go there. And so
what was the last thing you saw that you were like, you've got to be kidding me?
Boy, that's a good question. That's one I didn't think of along the way here.
Well, you know, it's just a broad sort of category, but something that you saw where you're really just like, wow.
Well,
head shaking, jaw dropping, wow.
I was wowed in Bowie, Texas, when there was a giant, literally 20-foot tall Bowie knife.
Ooh,
and you
okay
can stand in front of it to make it look like it's stabbing you.
Uh-huh, right. You've got this on the back. This is probably a very popular selfie.
I've also
nice
want to point out one other thing that I do in my travels, and each of my books will do this. Each of my books are going to have different themes. Since we're in Lexington, I want to do a shout out to John Winters, and you know John,
yeah,
Prohibition. And I'm a big mural fan,
okay,
street art.
Uh-huh.
I have been to street art installations all over the United States and in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I am actually going to have a whole book just on that kind of thing.
Right.
And so
Lexington is becoming quite a destination for that, right?
It is. Lexington is. Cincinnati's got some great ones, Louisville. But there's small towns. There was a town that I was in Louisiana that calls themselves... The name is not Frog Town, but they call themselves Frog Town. And
where is that?
I think it's Rolla, Louisiana. I don't remember all these places. But there's frog murals everywhere and frog statues everywhere. And so it's lots of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of just do those kinds of things. And I think I liked what Leaf used, serendipitous. I am very, or you used it. Okay.
Yeah.
I do things serendipitously. I just mm-hmm kind of go and enjoy the ride, that's kind of my philosophy. I don't care where I'm going. I want to see where I've been.
Right. David Kravitz here, the author of Less Beaten Paths, and congratulations on the second edition.
Thank you.
I've got a song for you here. And thank you for coming and visiting. Do come back and visit with us sometime.
Let's plan again on when my third book comes out, because I've right got some great stories coming up in my third book, and I hope to have that one out in January or February time frame.
Excellent.
Okay. Right on. Well, thanks for coming and visiting, and I'm going to send you out with this. It's a Tom Paxton song. Are you familiar with Tom Paxton?